We have three Holy Spirit-filled ladies who are also very attractive and good-looking. They will come around and they'll serve you a piece of bread. Here's what I want you to do. Go ahead. Start serving, please. Okay. Take a piece. Hold it in your hand. And I want you to smell it. I want you to feel it. And then I want you to eat it. Okay? And after all that, turn to the person next to you and say, share what you enjoy about the piece of bread. Was it the texture? Was it the scent? Was it the taste? All right, so please take a piece. It's freshly baked this morning out of the oven. I know a French baker near my home, and I say, Je peux bake me 6 loaves of bread, calories, and that's what they are. So hold it, feel it, interact with it, but most of all, eat it. Okay? And then share it with your friends what you enjoy about that piece of bread. Is it the feel, the crustiness on the outside, the chewiness in the center, or is it that satisfying carb just going into your stomach? So please take a moment and enjoy the bread. The bread is on us. Now, ladies, if you're done serving your section, please serve the rest of everyone in this place. Yes, thank you. Okay, so start sharing. Okay. Oh, we also have, I'm sorry, for those of you who prefer gluten-free, please come to the front. I have a special plate for you who want gluten-free. So come on up. Special bread. There we go. All right. Let's take a survey. What did you hear? Do we have butter? Yes, we do, in my kitchen. I recommend, not butter, but extra virgin olive oil with balsamic vinegar. That would be my choice. Okay, what did you hear? Did you hear them say, you know what? I just like bread. I like how it holds my hand. I appreciate the crunchy, the crustness of the outside and the chewy and the soft on the inside. I like that. Did you hear that? Did you also hear, you know, when I eat bread, I just feel satisfied. I don't care about the smell. I don't care about the feel. I just feel in my stomach on the inside, I just feel satisfied. Now, there's a point to all this. Now, we will serve the leftovers at the table fellowship time, the lunch time. Are you getting twos? It's like, that's all right. Okay. The point to this is this. Jesus, when he taught his audience, he taught his followers, and he's teaching us in a way that is memorable and experiential. He's not just after transferring information. He is after transferring transformation. Okay? So you will always remember this message. You may not hear what you have heard, but you will remember, you know what? I held a piece of bread in my hand, and I ate it. And the point of all this is this. Jesus says today, he says to you, he says to me, he says to everyone on the face of this planet, he says, I am the bread of life. You want satisfaction? Come to the bread of life. You want comfort in your life? Come to the bread of life. Because he says, I am the bread of life. So we'll be reading through the book of John here in chapter 6. As we receive God's word together, here's what I'm asking you to do. Whenever you come across the phrase, I am, that's very important. In the mind of John, who is the author of this, John eyewitnessed the life, the teaching, but more importantly, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he penned down what he saw and what he felt. And he is making a really, really important emphasis here, saying, hey, Jesus, in the book of John, what John is most concerned about is not the teachings of Jesus. Surprise? What John is most interested about is not even the miracles of Jesus Christ. John is singularly focused on one thing, who Jesus says he is. If he is not who he says he is, John says, then Who cares about his teachings? Who cares about his miracles? The most important thing for John, and he's making this for you, is who does Jesus say he is? And therefore, you have to make a choice. So as I read for us, please pay attention to when John says, I am, referring to Jesus. Chapter 6, verse 25 to 35, and then 48 to 58. Receive the word of the Lord. When they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Previously, Jesus fed 5,000 people. He gave free lunches, fish sandwiches. He fed 5,000 people, and they were following Jesus, and they found Jesus on the other side of the lake because they were following. Okay, now here. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs they performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You want free lunch again. Do not work for food that spoils, but work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Meaning, how do we get this eternal food? Jesus answered, the work of God is this. This is how you receive the bread of life. To believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, God gave them bread from heaven to eat. So manna is this bread that came down from heaven. Verse 32. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, he did not whisper, he did not utter, he did not say he what? He declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And let's jump down to verse 48. Jesus speaking again. Not whispering, not uttering, not saying, not speaking. He is declaring, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not to die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The theme and the goal of the entire message can be summed up in one sentence. Jesus Christ is the bread of life for those who are hungry for life. Jesus declares, he claims, he is making a convicting case that he is the bread of life. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. It's for me, for you, and for everyone here. And yet, we have to admit this, that we are hungry for life. Jesus is the bread of life. For those of you who are hungry for life, he keeps saying, he repeated it twice. He says, feed on the bread of life. Don't just listen to it. Don't just look at it. Don't just touch it. He says, feed on the bread of life. And here's how I'm going to walk together with you this morning. We're going to feed on the bread of life following this acronym. The word is bread, B-R-E-A-D, okay? B-R-E-A-D. This is how we're going to feed on the bread of life. So B stands for believe. R stands for receive. E stands for eat. A stands for admit. D stands for bread. Okay. Number one, first step. Believe, write that word in your sermon outline. Okay. Now, this is one reason you want to be on time for church. Because that sermon outline you're holding, it is limited. It's not forever. It's not eternal. It's not so you want to be on time, because those of you who don't have one, guess what? We ran out. Because you came late. I'm not going to have you stand. But so be on time and receive a copy. So write this word. Believe that your bread, what you're feeding on now, spoils. I'm not talking about the bread of life. I'm talking about your bread. Believe that your bread spoils. Here's a photo of a moldy bread. Okay. Oh, guys. I wasn't ready for the size of this bread. It's huge. I should be ready because I sent it. Okay. Now, so here, Jesus says, if you are not feeding on the bread of life, but instead if you're feeding on your bread, not the bread of life, but something else, okay, it spoils. He wants you to know, he says, you have to believe. I need to convince you, Victor, that if you are eating any bread other than the bread of life, it spoils. Meaning, it doesn't last. It may satisfy for a while, but it doesn't last forever, nor will it fully satisfy you. Here's what he says in verse 27. Do not work for food that spoils, meaning your food spoils. But work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Friends, this is a really, really important existential observation. When you work for food, other than the eternal food that endures for life, Jesus says, it spoils. Anything else that you feed on may satisfy you momentarily. It does. You may find satisfaction. You may, but temporarily. But ultimately, Jesus is saying, go for it, work for food, receive the bread of life that satisfies you fully. Okay? There's an interesting Greek word study here. In the language of Greek, the word for life, they have multiple words. Okay? Now, usually, When the Greek talk about life, it's bios. The Greek word is bios, from which we get the word biology. Okay, it's like existing, you know, living things. But here, when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," that life was used by another different Greek word. It's zoe. Okay, it's not talking about simply existing. It's talking about the quality. One of my mentors, he is a well-known speaker, and oftentimes he travels. He's traveling all the time for speaking engagements, so he accumulated the frequent flight miles bonus. You know what I'm talking about, okay? So he took one of his sons. His son was at the time was 7 years old, and on this trip, he took his son, and by the way, friends, I think this is a fantastic way of parenting. I have done this not too often, but you know, when you are going someplace for work, take one of your children, if that's possible and feasible. You're going to have a wonderful time. So that's what my mentor did. He took his 7-year-old son on this flight. Okay? And above 30,000 feet high, the flight attendant came, and she asked the young boy, "What would you like to drink?" "Well, I get a drink? Of course. What would you like?" "I'll take a Dr. Pepper, please." "Would you prefer peanuts or pretzels?" "I get those too?" "Oh, yeah. I like pretzels, please." So she came back with a glass of Dr. Pepper, a serving of pretzels, and the 7-year-old son, boy, okay, takes a sip, enjoys the pretzel, reclines his seat, kicks back, looking through the window, looking at all the clouds, and he goes, "Dad, this is living." To which my mentor said, "Son, what do you mean? Like 7 years ago, minutes ago, you weren't living? Now all of a sudden you are living now?" No, what the boy meant was the quality of life, right? This is living. Minutes ago, there was living too, but that's more like bios. But this, a glass of Dr. Pepper, pretzel, 30,000 foot in the air, clouds below you, now that's Zoe. Okay? Jesus is not saying what you eat does not bring bios, because it does. But Jesus is saying bios you will not be satisfied with eternally. What you desire along with bios is Zoe. Does it make sense? Christ says, "I am the bread of Zoe." Not just existing, not just eating and drinking and just, you know, going out with your life, but that experience. This is Zoe. This is life. This is living. That's what he's talking about. Okay? And whatever you feed on, if it is not the living bread, the Zoe, it's not going to fully satisfy you. Temporarily, maybe, but at the end, you will still feel hungered. I quote this, I share this quote by Madonna once a year. I have gained so much respect for her. She is, now if Madonna were sitting here, I think she would appreciate what she's going to hear. I respect Madonna for the fact that she is more self-aware about her spiritual hunger than many of us. This is what she wrote, okay? Reflecting upon her, the seduction of success. Okay. "I have an iron will, and all of my will has always been to conquer some horrible feeling of inadequacy." Look up here. Okay. She's talking about, "I have hunger. I have this hunger that persists. And all my life, I have this iron will to satisfy that hunger." You follow? Okay. Next slide. "I push past one spell of it, and I discover myself a special human being," meaning she becomes this super rock star. She claims top of the superdome, you know, stardom, and she sells more records, she makes more money, she goes to all these concerts, and she feels, yes, that hunger is satisfied. That's what he's saying, okay? "And then I get to another stage, and I think I'm mediocre and uninteresting," meaning it doesn't last. That hunger comes back. And then she writes, "Again and again and again. My drive in life is from this horrible fear of being mediocre, and that's always pushing me, pushing me, pushing me." It's one of her songs, actually. "Because even though I become somebody, I still have to prove that I am somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will." She gets this. Madonna understands what Jesus is saying. She's saying, "My bread spoils." Friends, this is my story. This is your story. Whatever you try to find life, if it's not the living bread, the living Zoe, you will feel just like Madonna. I know it. It's true of me. You may say, you know what? If I could just find my dream Mr. Right or Miss Right. Okay? Friends, that may satisfy you for a while. But he ain't going to last. She ain't going to last. Because you need more than that. You want that, yes. I want it. But if that's all you're aiming for, it's going to spoil. It won't last. Your children, you may make your children to be this, that by which you satisfy your hunger. Guess what? They turn 18, get married, and you go, I put my trust in them. It's a good thing, don't get me wrong. It's a good thing, it's a blessing, having children. Yes, yes, yes. But if you make them the ultimate bread, it will spoil. That makes sense? Okay. So let's continue. Second, receive the bread of life. So first is believe that your bread spoils. Bani, I got a sticky note for you. First is believe that your bread spoils. Second, write this word, receive the bread of life. Receive the bread of Zoe. Verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. See right there. Once again, in verse 48 to 55, 51, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Friends, what's he talking about? He's saying, receive my bread. In addition to bread of bios, you need the bread of Zoe. And only I can give you because I came down from heaven. I am the living bread. Here's what he's saying. You will find me satisfying. I can give you the vigor and energy in your life. So what happens when you eat the bread? You like it. You swallow it. It's digested and it becomes energy. So today for the rest of the day, you will be filled with vigor and life in you because you had a piece of bread. Okay? Similarly, Jesus is using this metaphor to say, if you eat of me, if you take this living bread in you, if the bread of Zoe is permeating throughout your entire body, mind, soul, and strength, then you will experience what? Satisfaction and energy and meaning. That's his promise. Let me bring it down to our level. You know, for us, really, existentially, you got three things to worry about. Because you do this every day, knowing and unknowingly. Okay, you're concerned about your identity, you're concerned about your security, and you're concerned about your destiny. Your identity. We work so hard at this. We have to know who we are. We got to find out, am I worth it? Do I have self-worth? My self-validation comes from my worth. And my worth comes from my performance. Am I good? Do I perform? Do I produce? Am I productive? Do people recognize my worth? Okay? Friends, if that is not founded on Jesus alone, but if you look for that in your performance, that's going to fade. If you base that on your relationship, they don't last forever. I don't last forever. My wife won't last. My children, if you base on relationship people, they won't last forever. Meaning your identity, if it is based on anything that is not eternal, then it's eternally useless. It may be okay for a while, but it's not going to give you the unshakable foundation as to who you are. And only Jesus, God who is eternal, who doesn't change, who lives forever, he can say, if I make you my child and no one can take that away from you. That is the foundation, the source of your identity. Okay? Security. We all are concerned about this. What's going to happen tomorrow, next week, in terms of our well-being, welfare. Okay? And so many of us put our security in our money, as if money can keep us from cancer. Hello? If money can keep us from accidents, hello? If money can keep us from death itself and suffering of life, wake up. Jesus must be our security. He will not exempt all the suffering and hardship from life for us, but when they do come, not if, but when they do come, he says, I will be there with you. I will be your strength. I will be your courage. It's because of me in you, living in you, because I'm the living bread and I permeate your soul. And because of me, you can withstand the storms. And lastly, destiny. We need meaning and purpose, friends. We need meaning and purpose. We need more than bios. We need Zoe. And only purpose in God can give us that. Then they asked, verse 28, what must we do? How do we receive this living bread? How do we work for it? Here's Jesus' response. He says what? Believe. The work of God is this. What God requires of you is to believe in the one he has sent. He doesn't say obey, does he? He doesn't say perform, does he? He doesn't say read the Bible, pray, fast, become generous, do all this, then you'll receive the bread of life. He doesn't. What does he say? Simply believe. Meaning, Lord Jesus, I'm hungry and I need this bread of life. That's all. You are the bread of life and I want you, I need you. That's it. That is to believe. You know what, friends? A five-year-old can do that. I'm hungry. Jesus, you are the bread of life. I need you. That's faith. I receive you. Meaning, if a five-year-old can do that, that means it is a gift. Friends, look up here. This breathing, it's a gift. You haven't worked for it. That piece of bread you had, did you work for it? No, I did. That came out of my pocket. Now, here's the thing. You didn't work for it, nor did I ask you to work for it, meaning it was a gift. So, thank you, Pastor Victor. You're welcome. Don't mention it. Seriously, God is saying, you cannot earn this bread of life. You are not capable of receiving it. You're not capable of earning it. You're not capable of performing for it. It has to be a gift. It's a sheer gift, grace. So remember that. It's a gift. But you must receive it. You have hands. Say, thank you, Jesus. I need it. So what's the first letter? B. Believe that your bread spoils, or receive the bread of life, Zoe, and third. Catherine, I need your copy. 1, 2. Okay, it's not funny. Who took it? Herman, was it you? Was it you? I'm missing a page. No, just three. 1, 2, 3. Interesting. Are you sure you didn't take the page? Okay, let's focus. Okay, 3. Starts with the letter E. Eat the bread of life. Eat it. Don't just hold on to it. Don't just look at it. You got to consume it, chew it, swallow it. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, friends, obviously, Jesus isn't talking about cannibalism. He's not talking about eating his flesh, literally. It's a metaphor, okay? Metaphor. Meaning, how do we receive this gift of bread of Zoe? And then how do we eat it? Okay, here. In your sermon notes, write these words. Trust the works of Jesus Christ, and let them permeate your entire being. Here's another analogy. As yeast works through the entire dough, let the righteousness of Jesus Christ work through your entire being. Write those words. Trust, permeate. Okay? So for example, how many of you are a baker? Have you baked a bread before? Like this morning, some of you had, Amika brought this bread machine here this morning. She baked this fresh loaf of bread right here. Okay? And the way she does it is, she does, you know, puts all these ingredients, but one of them, the most important one is yeast, because the yeast does magic, right? Amika, yes? Correct. Okay. So as yeast permeates, transforms the entire dough, let the works of Jesus Christ, what he has done for you, not what you do, because you can't, what you have done, but you haven't done digitally, but what Jesus has done, that righteousness, let it permeate all your being. Confession time. I'm a sinner saved by grace alone. When I approach God, I don't have one confidence, one boast. I have no confidence in my performance. I'm a sinner. I'm the worst sinner in this room. But my confidence lies in who Jesus is, the Son of God, and what he has done. And because of that, I go before the throne of heaven, before God the Father, and say, I can call you my Father because of Jesus Christ, what he has done. And I have tremendous confidence in Jesus. I have zero confidence in me. So that's how you allow the yeast to permeate the entire dough. Okay? Two applications, concrete one. Okay? Daily diet, you can write these words down, prayer and soul food. Daily consume the bread of life through prayer and soul food. When you pray, pray daily. Listen, you don't want to eat like too much food all at once, do you? The doctors say, the dietitians say, eat small bites throughout the day. Okay? So think of prayer like that. Some of you go, I can't pray. You know, I'm not a disciplined prayer. I can't do 20 minutes. Look. Focus on two. Two, Lord Jesus, I'm hungry. Lord Jesus, you're the bread of Zoe. Lord Jesus, you are my identity. You are my security. You are my destiny. Daily prayer, okay? Short, bits, bite sizes throughout the day. Second, soul food. You got eat some, get some, right? God's word. Jesus says, I am the word of God, and therefore, he says, feed on me. So please make your daily routine as you eat three times a day. Go to God's word in small bites. Maybe once a day. Start with once a day. If you are seasoned as a eater, eat twice a day, morning and evening. Okay? Soul food. All right? You can also subscribe to that by going to our website, mosaichouse.ca. And you can search the word soul food, and it will send you how to subscribe to your daily bite-sized living bread. All right? So what's first? B, believe that your bread spoils. R, receive the bread of life. A, what? E, eat the bread. And A, admit your spiritual hunger. Admit your spiritual hunger. Okay? That's number four. Verse 25 to 26. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? He answered, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Okay? Friends, here's what Jesus says. Who needs the doctor? Those who say, we're sick. Who needs a savior? Those who say, we need to be saved. Okay? Jesus says, you need to admit that you are hungry. Unless you are hungry, you will not look for the living bread. If you are deceived, confused, that what you are feeding on will give you Zoe, then you will not look for Zoe. Jesus' first step is, hey, look, you are hungry, and therefore, admit it, admit it, admit it. And it's the most liberating and humbling thing that you could do. Meaning, yes, you got to be humble enough to say, I am not good enough. I am not big enough to feed myself, Zoe. I need Jesus. That takes humility at the same time. It's so liberating because it's not on you anymore. The pressure is off. It's about who Jesus is, what he gives you. You don't produce this. So admit your spiritual hunger. Here's a question for you. The crowd was following Jesus because they had their fill the day before. Jesus fed the 5,000 people. And they're looking for Jesus. Hey, how about free lunch today? Okay? Jesus says this. Are you following Jesus to get your fill or to get Jesus? Very important. Are you following Jesus to get things from him, the benefits? Or are you following Jesus because you want Jesus? If you don't get this right, then your faith will be so messed up. Your Christianity will not bring you the bread of life. You want to be a place where I love Jesus for who you are, and you are sufficient for me. That's the most important thing. What happens after that? That's bonus. What you don't want to do is make the bonus the real thing. We do that so often. We say, oh, Jesus, I pray to you. Oh, Jesus, I obey. Oh, Jesus, I follow you. What are the benefits? Why don't you come through? To which he says, but son, you already have me. I'm with you. Am I not enough? So ask yourselves, are you following Jesus to get your fill or to get Jesus? Last one, number five. Number five. Dance at the party. Here is the book of Revelation. Okay. Chapter 7, verse 15. So John wrote another book. He saw this vision in the distant future, and here is what he saw, and this is what he wrote. Therefore, they, the followers of Jesus Christ, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb, that's Jesus, the Lamb at the center of the throne, will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Friends, Christ says, dance at the party. One day, when Christ returns, and he will, he says, I will take away your hunger forever. Now that I'm living with you eternally, I am right here with you concretely, there is no hunger. And therefore, there is no need for bread of Zoe because you have Jesus right here. And that's at the party, at the feast. In conclusion, he's offering himself as the bread of life, that we may be satisfied of our hunger. But did you know he was very hungry himself? In order for him to give us this gift of bread, he hungered. The Bible says he fasted not one day, not one week, but 40 days. He suffered hunger so that he may give us the bread of life. Would you close your eyes and pray with me? I want to invite the praise team to the front. Four questions. Well, three questions and a task. Number one, what did you hear Jesus say to you? What did you hear him speak to your hungering soul today? Name it. Say it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I heard you say to me, fill in the blank. Have you done it? Number two, how does that make you feel? How does Jesus make you feel because of what he said to you today? Does it convict you? Does it comfort you? Does it challenge you? Name it. And lastly, talk to Jesus. Respond to him. I'll give you just a few moments in which you may respond to him. talk to him. Talk to him. And tell him what you will do, therefore. What you will do in response to his rich grace and gift. Lord Jesus, we are hungry for you. Now we feed on you as we worship you, as we receive the Lord's Supper.